We heard the story of the shepherds and angels with the children. We heard it with the Advent reading, and you're going to hear it again with the sermon. You will be experts in this by the time the service is over. Growing up, I idealized being a shepherd. I don't know, I just thought it would be really cool to be a shepherd. Why? I think Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." John 10, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." So I had really good thoughts of shepherd. And the only time I really saw a sheep was, you know, here and there at the occasional petting zoo. But when I was in my early 20s, I had the occasion to be around a flock of sheep, and they were in a pen. And I asked the people, I said, can I get in the pen? It's like, this is exciting. I can pretend to be a shepherd. So I like went in the pen, and immediately the stinking sheep ran away from me. So I'm like, well, I will not give up. I will go after them. And as I started to walk across the pen, I looked down. And I was like, ugh. You know, it's like a little careful, little gifts all around. And then as I got closer to the sheep, they were dirtier than I thought they would be. They smelled. And as soon as I got just a bit closer to them, in mass, they ran to the other side of the pen. And right then and there, I thought, I do not want to be a shepherd. With that introduction, we now turn our attention to the famous story of the shepherds and the birth of Jesus. Our text this morning is Luke 2. Verses 8 through 20. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord. Now this morning, simply, I'd like to walk through this text, and in an effort of thinking deeper about it, we've heard it a lot, it's familiar to us, but I'd like to spend a few moments delving deeper into the text. And then after that, I'd like us to think about what we learn about Jesus in this text and what would our response be. Now, before getting into the text, I'd like us to think about the context. This story occurred around 4 BC. The people lived in the Roman Empire. They didn't like Rome, but Rome at least kept the peace. And during this time as well, in the consciousness of the Jewish people, was this idea that the Messiah could be coming soon. This was on their minds. The Messiah could be coming soon. Now the shepherds were outside of Bethlehem. It was a little town about 5 to 6 miles south of Jerusalem. This is what Bethlehem looks like today, or at least part of it today. So 5 to 6 miles south of Jerusalem, probably had less than 1,000 people. And, you know, for you trivia buffs, Bethlehem was 2,600 feet elevation above sea level, and sea level was a mere 30 miles from Bethlehem. So you had the Mediterranean Sea, sea level, and Bethlehem, 2,600 feet. Kind of rugged terrain. By contrast, in case you're wondering, the Chicago area, including Plainfield, we're at over 600 feet above sea level and 600 miles from the ocean. So Bethlehem, pretty close to sea level, but 2,600 feet. So as we turn our attention to the text, 4 BC, the Roman Empire, and it is on the mind of the Jews, because of Rome, surely the Messiah should be coming soon. So there were shepherds out in the field. I have a picture of kind of what it might have looked like outside of Bethlehem. There were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock. And in just a moment, little do they know, they are going to receive huge news. Now, let's think about this. Big news. If we let this news be put into the hands of a social media director or a marketing committee, they would not, definitely would not do this. They wouldn't release the news in the middle of the night and restrict the news just to a few people, and they would not choose shepherds. On one level, this makes no sense. Now, why not shepherds? Well, shepherds were a despised group of people. It was a lowly occupation. Their job made them ceremonially unclean in a time where people wanted to be ceremonially pure. So they were unclean. The other thing about them, interesting, is they were considered untrustworthy. So if there was a legal dispute, their testimony would not be accepted because you couldn't trust a shepherd. So what's going on here? An unbelievable message to not believable people. This does fit with Jesus, though, because when Jesus came, he came for people who had need. And those that were considered sinful or marginalized groups of people, Jesus came for them. Jesus came for the shepherds. So even though they were looked down upon by others, God deemed them worthy to receive this unbelievable message. Verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory shone around them, and they were filled with fear. So an angel, I don't know, what do you picture? Next slide. You know, what do you picture with the angel? We often picture an angel with wings in the sky. Now, the Bible doesn't say that. Maybe the angel just appeared and walked up to them. Do you think it had wings? I don't know. But one thing is for sure, there was a light emanating from the angel. And this, the Bible says, was the glory of God. And very often, the weight of God's presence, His glory, is revealed to people throughout the Bible with bright light or a shining cloud or fire throughout the Bible. And in this case, the angel comes with his bright light, and I believe the fear of the shepherds wasn't just the light, it was this overwhelming sense of God's presence as well. And the Bible says they were filled with great fear. Can you cut the mic? Yes? I won't do that again. Friends, too often we do not get the drama of the Bible. This is intense, filled with fear. What is going on in the shepherds right now? Hello? Their brain is hyper-focused on the angel. Everything else around them, including the sheep, they are not focusing on that. It is just the angel. Their pupils are dilating. Their breathing accelerates. Their blood pressure rises. And blood flow and sugars are flowing to the skeletal muscles, preparing the body for what? Fight or flight? I doubt they're contemplating fighting the angel. But before they run away, think about this. What are they doing? Their bodies are like shaking, their muscles contracting, they're cowering. And then the angel speaks. Try to picture a little of what's going on. And they're probably, some of them are screaming and kind of hiding behind rocks, got their staff up like this. And the angel says, fear not. Shepherds are thinking, yeah, easy for you to say. Yeah. Yeah, fear not. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. I know you're fearful now, but really you need to be joyful because there is some really good news coming. Good news. There is a gospel coming for the people. Now, who are the people? The people are the Jewish people who are expecting the Messiah. All you people, good news is coming. And now we know, because of the mission of Jesus, Jesus says, go into all the world. And so this is good news, you could say, for the people of the world. Verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior, someone who will rescue you. Christ, this is the Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, which means the anointed one, which means in the Old Testament, this was the special one to come to rescue God's people, to free them and provide for them and lead them into a new life. The Messiah, this is a loaded statement. Think about it. If all of the people are looking forward to the Messiah, and then some ragtag group of guys out in the field, they get this announcement, guess what? We're telling you, and nobody in Jerusalem, the Messiah is coming, Christ the Lord. The Lord is one who has authority over others. The Lord can also mean God, and come to find out, yes, this is the miracle of Christmas. Jesus has come fully human and fully God. The Savior, the rescuer, the Messiah, the Christ, the one who has been prophesied about all through the Old Testament, and God with us. Emmanuel. This is the good news. Now, verse 12, this will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. So, shepherds, in just a moment, you're going to go to Bethlehem. And how do you know you're going to find the right baby? Well, you're going to look for something quite frankly, that is odd, a little unusual, in fact, weird. A baby is going to be laying in an animal feeding trough. When you see this, you know you got the right baby. I mean, if you go to the hospital and you're looking for a special baby and here are all the babies in the cribs, and then you see a baby lying on a doggy bed, like, oh, this is unusual, this is different, okay? We do not put the babies in doggy beds, okay? But that would be unusual to us. This would be unusual to them, the baby lying in an animal feeding trough. Now, verse 13. This is just a famous painting. I'm not saying it looked like this. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The angels were a heavenly host. Another word for host is army. You know, the shepherd, think about this. The guys are finally starting to lower the heart rate a little bit. Okay, we're getting this angel thing. And then all of a sudden, you've got all these angels in the sky, and oh boy, here it comes again. Are you kidding me? This angel army appears. However, the angel army is not prepared to fight. It is proclaiming a message of peace. The army speaks peace. Glory to God, and on earth peace. Now, if you were to ask the Romans what they thought about peace, they would say, you're living it now. Pax Romana. Rome had conquered their empire. So even though Rome was not a nice occupier of Palestine, that Palestine, land of Israel, think about it, the most fought over parcel of real estate in human history, but at that time, there was no fighting going on, no foreign countries, because Rome had created peace throughout the empire, and there were no armies on the fringe trying to conquer Rome. There was this period of peace. As far as Caesar, the emperor, is concerned, peace, you don't need to be proclaimed peace. You're living it now. However, there's much more to peace than just political peace. When we think of the Hebrew word for peace, shalom, this is an inner contentment, a sense of wellness and wholeness. A sense of this is a good, flourishing life, contentment. I am truly at peace. It's not merely absence of conflict. It is a blessedness of soul. It is true life. This is the peace the shepherds are proclaiming. And who is this peace for? Those with whom he is pleased, those who put their faith and trust in God. Well, the angels went away. The shepherds said, let's go to Bethlehem. And verse 16, they went with haste. Think about this. I mean, their muscles, they're still prepared for the fight or flight type of thing. And they're like, okay, we need to go. So they go to Bethlehem. Now, this is a common scene that our minds might have. Also, what do you picture? You picture a little wooden structure, right? Even though the Bible never uses the word stable, we picture a wooden structure. It looks quite nice on our piano at home, right? The little nativity scene with the wooden structure and the cast of the first Christmas. But it could have been a cave. In fact, in the second century, there is writing to suggest that it was a cave. So here is a picture of the cave. It's had some work done. So here's the point. We don't know if for 100% this is the place, although this very well could be the place. In Bethlehem is the Church of the Nativity, and at the front of the altar area, there are stairs that you can walk down into this cave, and all of that ornate decoration kind of hinders us from picturing what it really looked like then, but this could be the place, and it could have been a cave that they went to. Verse 17, and when they are 16, with haste they went and found Mary and Joseph, the baby, lying in a manger. And 17, when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. The shepherds were the first evangelists of Jesus. They went and spoke. Now, I was contemplating this fact this past week, and all of a sudden, an idea came to me. In fact, an original thought. What I'm about to tell you, I have never heard preached. I have never read this in a commentary. Nowhere on planet Earth, except right here, will people hear this today. Are you ready? I'm just going to propose this. If you think this is after, it's fine, tell me. Or if you like it, you can tell me. Okay? Here is the thought. It was necessary that the message came to the shepherds, because if not the shepherds, then the wise man's story would not happen. If the message hadn't come to the shepherds, the wise men would have never seen Jesus. And here's what I mean. The shepherds were untrustworthy people, okay? The angels appear to them, it's true. They see Jesus, it's true. They are excited, and what does the Bible say? They leave and they tell people about this, okay? Because the shepherds were who they were, that would mean that people were amazed at what they saw. However, this message would be contained to Bethlehem. It wouldn't spread beyond. Why? Because shepherds said this. Now, think about this. If the angels appeared to more reputable people, to more socially connected people, and they heard the message that the Messiah had come, what everybody's been waiting for, then certainly, if this was told to reputable, socially connected people, certainly this message would have made its way to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's only 5 to 6 miles away. It would have made its way to Jerusalem. And if it went to Jerusalem, King Herod would have heard about it. And King Herod would have felt threatened. He would have taken action sooner against the babies in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus would have gotten out of town sooner, so that at one point when the wise men came, Mary and Joseph wouldn't have been in Bethlehem anymore. Do you see my reasoning? It's kind of cool, huh? So I believe providentially God chose the shepherds for multiple reasons. But one of the reasons could be, I'm not saying 100%, but could be that people were amazed at the message, but the message just stayed in Bethlehem and did not spread through the region. Because we know that the wise men did not come the night of Jesus' birth. They came sometime later. In fact, come back next week and I'll be here talking about the wise men next week. Anyway, I was kind of excited, wanted to share that original thought with you, thought it was pretty cool. Let's move on. Mary ponders these things in her heart, and the text ends, and the shepherds return to glorifying and praising God. Their lives are changed. They see Jesus, they spread the good news, and they worship. So now let's just take a few moments and think about what does this text say about Jesus and our response to Jesus. And simply, two things, humility and good news. This world in which we live values the viral, celebrates celebrity, and applauds attention. Every week we hear the message, your happiness is the most important thing. Do what makes you feel happy, and that is fine. Politics, always in the news, and it is very hard to find humility, genuine humility in politics. That said, as us humans, when we come across a scene, a news story, or just somebody in our life that is humbly serving someone else, there is a natural admiration and respect for that person. Our world still does value humility when they see it. Now, in God's economy, humility is one of the most important virtues because humility shows need. Important virtue. And what is so beautiful about this passage is God doesn't just command humility, which he can do. He is God. God doesn't just command humility. What does God do? He becomes humble. God is an example of humility. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God who was and is to come, Jesus is born a baby, taking on the weakness of human flesh, humble. And Luke mentions this three times, so we get the point. What does he mention three times? Laid in a manger, in a feeding trough. There is no majesty, no glory to that. His parents, not socially connected. Actually, when we read about Mary and Joseph, they are humble, humble people. And so we see this humility in Jesus. And we are called to respond humbly ourselves. In any point of weakness that you have, and we all have them, even the person who appears the strongest and most in control of life, we all have weakness. And in our weakness, God calls us to humbly trust in him. Our natural human instinct is to get mad, to be sad, or to be bad. We are called to humbly trust. In our relationships with others, a humble response in relationships is to listen to people, learn from people, be compassionate toward people. Humble response. And then lastly, the good news. The good news. Oh, yes, there we are. So have you received any good news lately? You know, if you get some good news, you know, what do you want to do if you get some good news? You necessarily want to share it. So this past October, I sent in an application, wrote a little essay for this Bible teacher conference that is very selective. Only 30 people do this. And there's a cost, but they pay for your airfare. It's kind of a cool thing. I'm like, oh, I'm going to apply for this. So I applied, and they said, we'll let you know at the beginning of December. So this is October when I applied, so I gradually forgot about it. But then as December came, I'm like, oh, yeah, oh, maybe I'll hear. So first week of December, I heard nothing. Okay, fine. Other people do this? No problem. But guess what? I want to share something with you. This past Tuesday, I got an email that said, congratulations, you were accepted. I was like, whoa, this is good news, this email. You know, and they even said, click here, your name, the list of 30 people is on the website. I'm like, whoa, easy, okay. Now I got that good news. I didn't tell my students. Well, quite frankly, they go like, well, who cares? I don't want to tell them. But like my principal, I said, hey, guess what? I applied to, you know, he was like, yeah, yeah. And before I left school that day, I saw the other Bible teacher was still there. So I went into his room. I said, hey, guess what? I applied. I wanted to share my good news. And he was like, oh, that's really cool, you know. So good news, we want to share it, right? All right, so what is the good news in this passage? I said it earlier. Simply put, who has come? A Savior, Christ the Lord. This is good news. This is not just some news for part of our life. This, if you get it, is life-changing news. If you get Jesus, that Jesus is not some nice story that a culture has. The story of Jesus is rooted in history. And history has never been the same. Jesus is, you could say, the climax of human history. This is big. This news, once we embrace it, it changes our heart. And we want to share it through the way we live and through the words we speak. The good news. Do you know, did you hear that life expectancy in the U.S. has dipped? Like, it should be getting better, like medical technology. It has dipped. What is one of the reasons why life expectancy in general in the U.S. has dipped? It is this: deaths of despair. For instance, uptick in suicide, but not just suicide, other things as well. Even among the millennials, it is sad. Deaths of despair. When the world preaches what matters most is you and your happiness, on the face of it, it sounds good and it may feel good. Ultimately, it is not good news. People embrace a message that is not good news. This message in God's Word, it's good news. And even the track record, like how it works out in people's lives, it works. It is good news. I read this week about a psychologist counseling atheists. The children of atheists, if the children of atheists are struggling with the idea of death, do you know what the counselor said? Lie to them. Tell them about heaven. The message of atheism is not good news, and it doesn't work. You should lie to your kids because what you believe doesn't work. The good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you have seen this website, I Am Second. Anybody? I Am Second? So on this website, it is people, generally kind of more known people, like in the sports world, entertainment world, even business world. And essentially, they interview them, and it's really cool, you know, with the music and the camera angles and the chair. And the people tell their story, and they share how Jesus has rescued them and how they have understood that the meaning of life is I'm second and Jesus is first. What they're doing on this is sharing the good news. The next slide, this is just the website. So it's iamsecond.com. And as you go through there, it's kind of cool to see all the different kinds of people, and that there's topics as well that you can look at also. So I just say this to hear people sharing the good news for the modern age in this video type, cool video type format. But of course, the true application to this point is not go watch a video on the computer. Maybe this will inspire us and encourage us. But the question is, how could God use us to share the good news this Christmas season? And so as we bring this message to a close, I would like to ask you, have you embraced the good news of Jesus in your life? Perhaps you're on the fence, you're considering, perhaps you're really not sure about God. And I would encourage you today to consider this true story and to consider that Jesus has come as Savior, Christ the Lord, and to put your trust in Jesus. And if you do trust in Jesus Christ, how is God calling you to be more humble? And how is God calling you in your context of life to simply share what Jesus has done for you, the good news? For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Holy and gracious God, we are thankful for the love outpoured upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that this Christmas story would have fresh relevance for our lives today. Please build our faith and please use us as people of faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.